Okay, so we're going to call this meeting to order at 5:30. And as a committee of the school board, we would like to take this moment to respectfully acknowledge that we're residing on the traditional land of the Dene people. And secondly, that our mission as a community, we create supportive learning environments where all students thrive. Erin, could you call the roll, please?
Yes. Ms. Hewitt?
Here.
Ms. Herbie?
Here.
Ms. Curry?
Here.
Mrs. Zavirl is excused. Mr. Hernandez?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Scarlett is expected. Ms. Schick, did I say that right?
Yes, here.
Thank you. And Ms. Mulebeyer is expected. Mr. Watley?
Here.
Ms. Hudson?
Here.
And Mr. Morrison is excused, and we have a quorum.
And I'll entertain a motion to adopt the agenda and meeting notes from back in February of 2025.
Move to adopt the meeting notes from February 11th, 2025.
We have a second?
Second.
Thank you. So the new business on the agenda for today is we're going to have a couple of presentations. And are you, who's going first? Okay, so Jennifer Randall is going to, from the Elementary and Secondary Act Compliance Coordinator, is going to present a report, the Draft Family Engagement Plan.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to the Family Engagement Committee because we are, yeah. So is this better? Is this okay, Erin? Yeah?
A little louder, just closer to you.
Okay. So the Family Engagement Committee is really an integral part of our whole process and touching base with families district-wide to review the district parent and family engagement plan. And this is it's a Title I requirement form. However, I think a lot of the items in here also apply district-wide. And so I appreciate a district-wide input and perspective. It's also, I want to note that it is a living document. So at any time anybody has a suggestion that needs to be added to this plan, we're always available and open to making those changes. At the very least, though, we have to review the plan and get it signed off every year. So what I did today, this is low tech, so I appreciate you bearing with me a little bit on using paper. But what I've done is I've highlighted in red just to highlight what the whole point of that next paragraph is underneath it, because there are a lot of words in this document. So I want to just so highlight in red sort of the point of the following paragraphs under in the box. But then also, and then I just sort of highlighted in yellow the items that I would like to highlight for you. But of course, please feel free to read the entire document. So the first item here is, how do we involve parents and family members in the development of our district ESEA consolidated application? And I would like to point out having the district committees, such as this Family Engagement Committee, is really important to getting that feedback to the consolidated application. We get input from individual Title I schools and from those Title I meetings and their needs assessments that all rolls up into the consolidated application. And then most importantly, really, is that Fairbanks North Scarborough School District's strategic plan. And it was really great to get that refreshed last year. And so now our consolidated application is also aligned to that strategic plan. On the next page, on page 4, it asks, how do we provide support and technical assistance to our Title I schools? And you will hear me repeat some of these items frequently, but I think that just emphasizes the importance of these opportunities. So first of all, we do title-wide work sessions every year, and the first one in the fall is always dedicated to family engagement. So we usually have about 60 or 70 people in this room, anywhere from 4 to 7 representatives from each school, staff, principal, parents, looking at their family engagement plans. Each Title I school has their own version of this document. And so they're using that time to look at their family engagement plans, review their compacts, and make plans for their family engagement activities throughout the year. And I would note on that second bullet down is the plans for the family engagement activities. So after they receive this feedback and input, the schools are also responsible for submitting to our department their plans for those activities. And then we're looking for, and we help them do this, is to make sure that the activities that they're planning with their family engagement funds are aligned to their needs and are have an academic focus. So it's great to have you here, Allison, because even though Ryan might call it Glow Night, which is great, and a lot of people came and I was there, there was a many, many academic focused opportunities there for families. Don't be fooled necessarily by the title of these family engagement activities. We are doing a lot of literacy and math every time as well. On the next page, we are coordinating with our organizations and businesses. And of course, we're just so fortunate to be in Fairbanks, where we just have that strong local support for schools. But the specific community and business partners for each Title I school is laid out in their version of this plan. And those are all available online. They're linked in here as well. So if you want the online version of this, it's linked to the agenda, you can see those. And then how do we evaluate this family engagement plan? Again, we have a focus on it at those title-wide meetings in the fall. There's dedicated time to review the plan and make updates. And then also, how do we judge the effectiveness of this plan? And ultimately, it's really linked to the effectiveness of the entire overall school environment and the school improvement plan and academic achievement of students, because the whole point is when family engagement is strong, student achievement increases. And so that's the link. So that's why this heavy emphasis on family engagement, it's really all about student achievement. And let's see. Oh, and then besides those Title I plans, actually outside the Title I schools, all schools in the district submit an action plan to the district administration on what their action plan is for the year. And so every school in the district has family engagement as part and parcel of their action plan that's submitted to the administration. And then we do like to evaluate using data. And so how do we gather data for family engagement? We also, besides surveys and evaluating how a family engagement event went for a family, we have a lot of robust data and analytics from Parent Square and PowerSchool and all the myriad other electronic ways that we communicate with families. So the analytics from all those sources are very carefully looked at the district level and at the school level. And then how we will revise the plan is, again, getting input from committees like this. And then I want to highlight, and this is what Ms. Gray will be discussing, and Ms. Dimick and Ms. Alonzo. The more we pursue in a very intentional way, more information, skills, and training on how we can do family engagement better. And so in January, in partnership with AASB, and the AKA Alaska Family Center, Fairbanks had 6 participants at the Harvard University course, Family Engagement and Education, Creating Effective Home and School Partnerships. And you're going to hear a lot more about that from them after me. So I'm just as excited to hear their presentation as well, because I haven't heard too many details yet, because we will take the information that we gather from these opportunities to implement in the schools. And I believe we will probably be starting some things right away, but I think even years to come, it has staying power. And then again, how do we involve our parents? Again, the district-wide Title I meetings, they always include parents, especially the one with the focus on family engagement. And then again, being here to get receive feedback from this committee on how we might improve this plan is really very valuable. And then parents also are involved in the decision-making on how to use the 1% reservation in Title I funding. Of all the Title I funds, 1% is dedicated to family engagement, and that's tracked completely separately. And so how do parents influence and have their say on what's the best use of those funds? Again, that fall Title-wide meeting is that opportunity, along with all the feedback from surveys that the schools receive. And activities and workshops for families. Again, those are school-specific, so the links to their family engagement plans are there on page 8. But I'll also note that on November 1st, the district hosted the Family Math and Reading Rally for K-3 families at Hunter. And so there are efforts above and beyond, you know, just what's happening in Title I schools. And then we also need to support our teachers and staff on how to do family engagement. Again, the trainings that we receive, they're going to go out to the schools. The Title-wide meetings are great opportunities for staff to sit down with families and listen to their input. The National ESEA Conference, there's always a strong focus on family engagement, so staff who attend that conference are always coming back with new ideas for improving family engagement. And this, yeah, and basically our district's commitment to it by sending 6 people to this training just a few weeks ago. And one item that I wouldn't mind if there's time to receive some feedback or input is this last section here of some of the ways the school is communicating with families. So if there's input or edits that we should do here, actually, I'm not sure all of these things are being used anymore. But which of these items, these bullet items, are, you know, best for families? And it goes on to the second page. So I think it's a pretty impressive list, frankly, of all the different ways that we're reaching out to families. And whether it's from the school or from the administration, like, for example, the Alaska Adventure podcast. Mm-hmm. So all the ways that we're trying to communicate to families. So again, if there's any feedback on the best methods for that, if anything on that list resonates with you, that would be a great thing to hear talk about.
If a parent wants to volunteer at their school, what do they have to do? Do they just talk to the teacher? Can they use one of these parent squares? Like, is it as easy as sending a text over parent square to the teacher?
I believe the volunteer packet comes from the human resources first. And then, but certainly they can find out what that process is easily enough from the principal. Well, most likely the principal. I would check with the administrator.
Is there a way to get that packet on Parent Square? Oh, are you guys going to cover that?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, folks in the schools, you might have a better answer, okay. Frankly.
Just trying to make, like, I feel like that is a hurdle that I've heard from a lot of parents, is that they don't know what the process is, or they don't have the time to go pick up the packet. Just trying to streamline that and make it as easy as possible, with the understanding that not just anybody can be in a class full of kids.
So parents that would like to come in for lunch or things that are within eyesight of the teacher, Field trips, stuff like that, they just contact the teacher. But for other things, like if they're going to help on a field trip where they would have a small group, they do the volunteer packet and they'll fill out the packet, submit it to Human Resources. Human Resources will give it back. And then every school has a list of all the volunteers that have been approved, volunteer list. So if a parent contacted a teacher, we could send that via email or something like that for them to be able to get.
Yeah, if this is something that you want to look at later and provide some feedback later after you've gotten to read it, I'm anytime in maybe in the next week or so, we can certainly look at making some revisions. Thanks.
I do see one on page 3. It says Parent Engagement Committee. That's it.
I tried to find all of them. Thank you for finding that. Okay.
I would like to note that despite me not being a parent, on this bulletin list here, the parent square tests have been very useful for both me and my parents to know what exactly is going on, because, oh, maybe we don't check our email, oh, we don't want to go on the website and just attach straight to our phone, which we're already on.
Thank you for that feedback. That's really helpful.
So do you mind to maybe, I guess everybody's email is their first and last name, but just reminding people how that they're going to, if they do have feedback for you, how they would get it to you?
Sure. Yeah, I can email it to everybody, or I think it's linked on the agenda. Yeah. Is it?
The draft family engagement plan is linked.
Okay.
And if your personal information is on there.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Otherwise, I can email the group and let them know.
Oh, okay. That would be great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. And next, we have Family Engagement and Education with Brianna Gray, Executive Director of Student Support Services. And sorry, I don't know everybody's name.
Kristen Alonzo Taggart, Assistant Principal at Arctic Light Elementary.
Sarah Dimmick, multilingual learner teacher at Tanana and Randy Smith.
And we are here to talk about the family engagement class that we took at Harvard. But first, we want to thank AASB and Alaska Family Engagement Center because they are the ones who sponsored this trip for all of us to attend. Do you want to talk a little bit about who attended?
Sure. Okay, so we had Sarah that already introduced herself, then myself. Then we had Ann Kettle. She is the counselor at University Park Elementary. And then Jennifer Winky, and she's after school program director, development coordinator. And then Bobby Burgess, the school board member, and then Brianna.
And the training that we attended, it is an actual class, and it was a 5-day intensive learning experience, and it was a lot of fun. We were able to be there and share space with many other districts and organizations that are from Alaska as well, so we were really well represented, and there were also other students who were there who were learning, so it was a fun way to learn and share space with one another.
And then on this picture, we have the director at Dr. Mapp, and then she was the person that was in charge of the whole conference. And then one of the other people, she was our academic coach that we worked with every day. And at the end, like, we became really close with her. We have her phone number. So it was such a great experience.
One thing that was super exciting was that Dr. Mapp and the team that she brought in to present to us is leading the research in family engagement in the country, and it sounds like internationally as well. So we were really blessed to be able to share space with them.
Go. All right, so what did we do? This slide shows our strategic plan priorities and how it aligns with the work that we did. And so we, like, kind of like we just discussed, we were able to really engage in research-based family engagement strategies, and we worked with many of the leading researchers who have created some of the tools and documents that we'll talk about further on into this presentation. What I also really enjoyed is that they talked a lot about data and assessment tools and to really gauge how we are managing our family engagement practices. We talked about the framework that is widely spread across the world, the dual capacity framework that we'll show on a next slide. And we also talked about kind of like what Jenny said about how family engagement is really linked to student achievement.
When we broke it down to how many hours we are with students from K-12, you don't have that on your slide, do you? I didn't think so. That they're only with us for like 12% of their career from kindergarten all the way to their senior year, and how much we need a partnership with parents because parents are with them so many hours a day. And that by having this two-way partnership with parents, that's how we're going to see success in students.
And we took the group of people that we took because we all have different perspectives and we all work in different spaces. And we thought it was really important that we're all seeing it from all of our own, we have our own positionality, but also learning together to come with a shared common goal. And one of the things that they talked about a lot is that family engagement is a strategy and not a goal. That oftentimes we see that we're making these little check marks of like, we're doing this, so that's family engagement, but it really is a strategy or a compass guiding us to make sure that we're engaging with our families. And we're kind of highlighting here the difference between family involvement and family engagement. Someone want to talk about the family involvement?
Yeah, so when we talk about just pushing out information to families, that's involvement. We're making sure that they know what we're doing. And then, like, if we had an event and it was just a fun way to get parents in the building, if it's not linked to learning, then it's not increasing student learning. So, like, what you guys were doing at Glow Night with your math and your literacy, perfect. So, family engagement means not just pushing out information, but soliciting or inviting a conversation and really talking about student learning and really bringing them in, bringing families in as partners to their students' education. And so much of that is asking about their student because, as Kristen pointed out, they're with them all day. They are the experts. We actually need that information to do our job.
And then, like Jennifer mentioned earlier, this math and reading rally that is second annual. That's one of the things that Bree and I were excited that we met the three requirements that they talked about. And that was having a listening ear to parents. So we had an option for that. Then showing parents what kids are actually doing in the classroom, and then a tangible item for them to take home to work on. So at the math and reading rallies, we have take-home bags for parents to take home with their kids. So it's pretty exciting to see that we met those three requirements for family engagement.
And then on the bottom of the slide, just highlighting the family engagement definition of family engagement is a shared responsibility in which schools, families, and community partners engage in ongoing two-way collaboration to support student learning, well-being, and success. And just really highlighting the schools, families, and community partners. I think that's really important. All right. So this is the dual capacity building framework for family and school partnerships. And the individual in the picture that we shared with you, Dr. Karen Mapp, is somebody who spearheaded this. And I guess so we talked a lot about this in our everyday training and what this looks like. And it talks about the challenge, the conditions, the policy and program goals, and the capacity outcomes. And I would highly recommend that you do some research and look at this in full. We also have some resources at the end, and there's a video that talks a little bit more about that.
I think the graphic is really effective. At the beginning, you've got the challenge where the school and the families are completely separate. And then you create conditions to bring them together. create policy, and the end goal is that they are integrated, they're communicative, there's a two-way relationship.
All right. So during this class, we did actual work. And so we had time during our day to meet in our smaller groups, which was the six of us, along with other districts and organizations. And just to highlight that this presentation is part of our opportunity plan that we created together. And within this opportunity plan, we had time to identify what our goals were, identify areas of strength and areas for growth. We talked about what our theory of action was going to be, and also our plan of action. And on the right-hand side, you can see some pictures. We were able to talk about our goal, and then we received feedback from the other individuals that were there. And so that was a lot of fun.
So we had 5 days to work on this plan, about 2 hours every day, like AM, PM. Lots of articles we had to read. We got to read action research from people doing this work. Then we presented it, and then we submitted it to our teacher. She would look over it, give it back to us. We had to rework on it. And so it's just fun because we started off, it was huge. Our ideas were so big. And then we brought it back down to like realistic goals. And then those sticky notes that are on the top picture was from other people from different districts giving us feedback. So by the end, we took all their feedback, monitored and adjusted everything. And now we have a great SMART goal.
Yeah, and it was just super exciting that the whole time our mentors were the people who are doing this research in the field.
So our goal is to develop a family engagement one pager and a companion resource for district-wide use to guide family engagement strategies. And the three concepts that we really wanted to bring back to the district is that family engagement is a shared responsibility. It is relationship-based and two-way engagement, and we want to make sure that we have inclusive and responsive practices.
So, yeah, we talked a lot about how it's a two-way street, but it is the responsibility of the district and the schools to make sure that two-way street is happening. It's our responsibility. We don't wait for them to come to us.
And another thing that we learned was relationships. You have to fight for these relationships. So we have to put in effort to make parents feel welcome and heard. So fight for that relationship.
And when we talked about our theory of action, we really talked about the importance of developing a common understanding and language around family engagement across the district so that we're all on the same page in order to create that alignment and consistency in planning, communication, implementation of our engagement district-wide in order to really empower our staff, families, and community organizations to improve engagement practices in order to improve student outcomes.
One thing that also kept coming up is that this is not an extra thing that we do. This is the thing that we do to meet our students' academic goals. What we want for them is not going to happen without their families.
Yes, and we talked about, it was really affirming when we were there because we got to talk a lot about the things that we're currently doing, and a lot of the best practices and strategies that they talked about are things that we're already doing. And so we know the importance of highlighting how we are already engaging in family engagement, things that we can do now, and then things we can look forward to doing in the next year, in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I also wanted to highlight that they do have some upcoming engagement training options. So they're having another in-person in July, but they also have online learning opportunities as well. So Dr. Karen Mapp and the individual that we have. And our leader have created many different research articles, case studies, different books. They do a lot of presentations at National Family Engagement Conferences. And so I wanted to make sure that I linked a lot of the resources here for everyone. All right. All the resources here. And we also have a larger one pager with different articles, case studies, and resources available that we'll share with you as well.
And it's great that we already have this family engagement committee and also that we have these parents. So thank you, parents, for being on this committee.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions? Comments?
So you were talking about taking this plan here and making it a one pager, or do you have something slightly different?
Separate document that we are creating.
They work together.
They work together. So our hopes is to have a one pager that people can look at, because a lot of times people see a large document and they're like, oh no, right? And so if we could have that one checklist that is a tool, and then we have a companion guide that goes a little bit more in depth about what family engagement is, links to other resources and other tools that are available.
Is anybody from your group or your office in general going to do that longer session? I believe it said it was 4 months on your slide.
Oh, no. So that the online training that they have includes what we did. Ours was an intensive. And so there's different options and modes available. We do have, we have talked in some of our executive director meetings about who else can possibly go to the trainings and how we can have phase trainings, but then also maybe how we can have those individuals come here as well so we can serve a larger population in terms of professional learning.
Is that one pager directed at families, teachers, staff, both?
So we will have one for families and then one for all educators.
And I know that you spoke a little bit too that this isn't something extra that needs to happen. It's just improving on what we are already doing. But what does that look like for an educator?
Do you go
or
back
a parent?
Yeah.
I mean,
So I think the three points you had about the two-way engagement, for example. So we talked about building on the things that we already do at parent-teacher conferences. For example, a lot of teachers will engage in relationship building with the parents, but a lot of people don't have the training to understand that. So it'll be just informative, like, here's how your kid is doing in my class. Inviting the two-way conversation, tell me about your hopes and dreams for your student, is one phrase that kept coming up in our training. I mean, if that doesn't happen at parent-teacher conference, it could be at the open house, for example. Small strategies, you're not revolutionizing any structures, but you're inviting the two-way communication.
We have a meeting with FEA next week where we're going to present this a little more, and there we'll get some talking points for conferences, and probably next year we'll start some more, because teachers do make goals with students and share those with parents at conferences, but now we're adding the parent in there too. So student, parent, and teacher are making goals. So when we were at our training, it was really cool because where we want to be, we're almost there. We just have to add a little more tweaks. So that's the point. There's things that we're already doing, but we just have to add a little more. So instead of just the goals between teacher and student, to have the parents in there. And then parent score is one of the things, but just to make sure that we're doing the two-way communication. And then the family engagement nights, making sure that there's time for parents to talk, and making sure that parents are aware of the goals for their student by, like, the standards that were teaching this year, and then a takeaway that they can take home to work with their kids. So, like, homework or learning games. So we're almost there. So just more things for those three goals.
Yeah. So we kind of talked about how, like, this committee is an opportunity. This is part of our family engagement strategies. We have Parent Square, what that does allow families to communicate back and forth with their teacher or their principal. We had the math rally that we kind of talked about that allowed families to engage in learning, ask questions, and then take something home. So there are a lot of cool things that we're doing. Our school climate survey as well, because it has an opportunity for that two-way communication. For example of that, you know, we took some of the information from those surveys and a document was created, and then we made sure that our school action plans incorporated family engagement based off of this information. And so I think those are some key examples.
Oh, we also talked about, like, it's awesome. We have so many family inclusion activities at our school. Well, sometimes they're just fun, like a harvest carnival or something. But making sure that there is an opportunity within that at, for the student, for the families to learn something about their students' learning.
There is also a really cool visual that was developed to show different activities and things to do that are high level engagement and low level engagement that we'll also include in our companion guide and share as well.
Thanks. Do we have any other questions or comments?
Just out of curiosity, how were the delegates to Harvard selected?
How were we selected? How was the team selected? So we looked at different individuals who had been engaged in family engagement throughout our district already and who we thought would be champions for this purpose. And so we wanted to make sure that we had somebody who was at a principal level, at a teacher level. We had a school board member who attend, and then somebody in the district office. So that way we knew that we had different positionalities that spoke to all different levels, and that we could all have different experiences and come together and build out a good plan and companion guide. So it came directly from the Student Support Services Department.
How are you going to know if we're, I'm sorry. How are we going to know if we're making any progress with this? So in the one we have now, we have these metrics for being able to contact people, student outcomes, having them increase attendance, for example. Is that part of something that is on that one pager, or is that something y'all are doing in the background? Like, how do we know that what we're doing is working better than what we've been doing?
That's a good question. So the one pager won't have that information, but each school does have a school action plan that tracks this data. So each principal, we all meet down here for a meeting with our superintendent's office, and we do look at that information.
I had a similar question along the same lines. Being a parent in the school district, but also past a former employee, one thing I've really taken away from those experiences is that every principal runs their own school differently. So, kind of in line, like, how will this be implemented in a way that it's getting down to every single teacher across the district?
Yes, so I think for us and the purpose of the document that we're creating, our goal is to have that completed by the end of this year to be able to have at the beginning, we every year at the beginning of the school year, we have a welcome back where we're able to hand out documentations, have different professional learning opportunities. And that's something that we didn't discuss actually, that we are also going to be providing professional learning opportunities at the beginning of the year for educators. But to really make sure that this document is online and really available, but also that we're handing out copies to staff to have, and then following up with principals during their school action time planning to talk about how we're continuing these efforts.
And we're waiting for some approval processes. Bree's going to meet with the executive team. But we were thinking, like Bree mentioned, that we'll do professional development for teachers at the beginning of the year. And we're also going to try to be part of the new teacher academy to help with that family engagement piece.
Speaking as a parent, I ran PTAs for years in Fairbanks, what, 27 years. One of the things we're doing at Fairbanks Native Association in the JOM program is we're thinking that the parent engagement piece really needs to go back to the level of teacher parent and not them always talking about academics, but maybe building bonds, like doing. I'm just going to throw something out there, a workshop with them all building a cuss book together. Something that's not just always about academics. You're going to reach more parents when you put it on a personal level instead of throwing them academics and talking about schoolwork and maybe just talking about let's do something fun together. That's going to open the door to a lot of parents wanting to walk through that door in the morning or in the afternoon. To come into that school and feel welcome. And instead of just coming in and saying, thinking that all they're going to get is academics, stuff that, you know, they're already nervous about talking about, but start on a level where let's have a family night. We're having teachers out there working with parents on projects, little projects, baby steps to get into those parents. We find that that works with us too, because we too have to have parent engagement measurement tools in our program. And we find that we reach them better every time we add food, entertainment, door prizes, we get them in the door. And so these baby steps, I think, will work with almost all parents if we can just get them to the door to talk to us, and maybe things will go a little bit easier.
I love that you mentioned that. We were talking about the same thing. And like you said about the glow thing, parents come in there. So we're building these relationships, and then parents will want to come to conferences because we're doing this fun stuff and we're welcoming them. And one of the presenters said that someone might say, hey, do you want to come for dinner? And she's like, no, I don't know you. How about we start with, let's walk our dog together. So same thing like you were talking about. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I think that highlights the number two part where we talked about building trust and ongoing relationships. And I think an example of that too is one of our schools does home visit at the beginning of the year and like walks their neighborhood and is just familiarizing themselves, because one of our, I guess, instructors talked about also the importance of getting to know the community, not just talking to the family, but getting to know the history of the community and why people live in the neighborhoods that they live in and how it impacts education. So it was interesting and fun, and I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, definitely. And it goes to moving from like transactional to relational. Like, our students are not going to benefit if we're not having a positive mutual relationship with the parents.
Thanks. I just wanted to ask about, are parents able to build relationships with other parents in these parent-teacher conferences, or is it like scheduled? You come at 3, talk to the teacher, and then you leave. Because I think that's an important piece, that when parents build relationships, then all of a sudden you are all talking about what your kids are learning together, how you're dealing with problems, and like having a birthday party or, you know, anything that are building those relationships, like what you're
talking
about.
I can say coming, so I have 2 kiddos in our school district, and I can say that their school during parent-teacher conferences will have different things available. So they'll say like, oh, we're doing a fundraiser where you guys can come talk and get Italian sodas. This is a time to come and look at winter gear and exchange winter gear, or we don't have transportation at our school. And so they'll say you guys can come and talk about your transportation needs and see if you guys can do some shared transportation. So I know that for me personally, I've been able to experience that. But the parent-teacher conferences are still scheduled, but they just invite you to talk during that time, like come earlier, or so you can talk in the common area.
And that's one thing that we talked about as well, is having those parents build relationships with each other too. And we talked about different ways. Some people do like school phone books within their classroom, and parents get a pick if they would like to give their information out. And then they have a phone book so kids can have play dates and stuff like that. So we talked about the value of having relationships with parents within classrooms and within the school.
Because I remember, well, the reason I asked that is like parent-teacher conferences at the schools that I went to in Illinois, it was like all of the teachers were lined up on the outside of a gymnasium and all the kids were just everywhere. And there was like a food in the middle. And people just talked and mingled. And then when the teacher was free, they would just go talk to them. And that's probably pretty chaotic, but that was how they did it. And it seemed really fun.
One of the examples that somebody in our group, when we were at this training, talked about is that if you are really engaging in family engagement, that when the time comes to go to the parent-teacher conference, you're probably not talking as much. You don't have to have that scheduled time to talk about all of the things, because you're already talking about all of the things. And so I thought that was a really important note to take away as well.
So the arena conferences you're talking about, they have those at West Valley, where I used to teach, and at Lathrop, where I am a parent. Lathrop actually had their student council and parent teacher conferences and like all these little activities, like a photo room to really make sure that families felt welcome and relational. It was really awesome. So, yeah, we're doing a great job.
I was going to talk about arena conferences too, but I still think it's important to do both. So arena conferences are fabulous because there's a couple reasons. The mingling part, for sure. I like to be able to hear, so I'm head department head for sixth grade. I like to be able to hear the conversations that are happening around me of the students we all share. And then I oftentimes in middle school, we don't meet parents. And so I think it's super important. I think that most problems that teachers have in middle school can be easily solved if you just bring a parent into this conversation, you know. And a lot of times with younger teachers, it's really the biggest advice that I give them is that you it might seem intimidating to have those conversations, but most parents are so, you know, welcoming to you as a they respect you as a professional and just starting that conversation. A lot of times, you know, the student thinks of their home life and their school life as two different worlds. And by meeting parents and talking to parents, you can bridge that gap. And a lot of times it fixes most problems that you have. With arena conferences, we also do that at Ryan. We're all in the commons and we're separated by grade level. And a lot of students have teachers in different grade levels, like our elective teachers teach all the grades. And so it's really fabulous that they can go visit this teacher and then go visit this teacher. And then also JOM has their booth and we have a title booth. And so parents, it's kind of like a one-stop shop, right? Is they can get information from all the our federal programs and then meet teachers and then talk to the teachers that their student will have next year, right? And so you get a real 30,000 foot view of what the school it looks like. And I think that arena conferences are a great way to kind of take the temperature of a school. I mean, I believe, obviously I'm extremely biased, but when you walk into Ryan arena conferences, there's a super energy in there. There's, you know, you're seeing students you had, you're seeing students you're going to have. Then you see parents talking to each other that they might not have even seen each other in a while. And they, I didn't know your kid went here, kind of thing. And so I hope we never get rid of arena conferences. I love them so much. But there's my but is that the scheduled conferences are still super important. So what we do is we do schedule in the morning and then we do arena in the afternoon. And so we make our scheduled conferences 10 minutes long, which I had to really fight for that. But I believe that it's super important because there are some parents that you really do need to sit down with and really have a private conversation that's not appropriate for, you know, a big, you know, crowd. And that's more informal. Also, teachers can work together. We work together in the fall. We had a couple students that we're kind of on our radar, red flags. We really had some issues we wanted to take care of and bring the parents into the conversation. So I worked with my team to have all five of us block out our first 3 10-minute blocks. And so I called mom and dad and I said, why don't you come in and we're just going to do a half an hour with all your teachers. And I'm going to make it really easy for you. And we got so much done. We wouldn't have gotten that done at arena conferences, but I love that it gives us that flexibility. So that's my speech about conferences. It's a super tool if schools plan it well and really make it a welcoming place for families to come in and not just meet teachers, but meet all the staff. Less than half the people in my building are teachers. We have tons of support staff that offer so many great things to families that they might not know about, you know, unless they were there. So, anyway, that's my speech there. Sorry, it takes so long.
No, I think it's great. Thanks for sharing.
I just want to make a suggestion. Is this working? At Denali, we were one of my schools there that I have a really good family service coordinator working there, Peggy. She called up and she said, yeah, Miss Averill said that parent teacher conferences are kind of declining. You know, parents are not coming in like they should. And, you know, I'm going to have our JOM table there. And I said, serve five Pride Red and let all the kids know to their parents. Record come out that year. People wanted fry bread. She made a pile of fry bread and let them sprinkle their own powdered sugar on it. So many people came, and then they went on down to the teachers and the rooms, and it was just something to draw them in. And so we also added some, I ran over to Big Ray's and got some Carhartt hats, and we did drawings for anybody that filled out a red ticket, and we gave away like 5 hats along with the fry bread. But another idea is, we're one of those companies that we give you time off for parent-teacher conferences, but some don't, a lot don't. You know, with Zoom and Teams, is it possible to make times for parents to do it via that and give them that third option if they can't make it in because their company just doesn't do that?
Yeah, we actually do several Zoom options, and parents can actually, when they sign up for a time in Parent Square, they can put a note that they'd rather have it online. And I do Zoom almost every conference scheduled. And it's just like, you know, I've done phone ones and Zoom ones. Parents will just say, hey, call me, and I'll just call them, and we'll do that 10 minutes right over the phone. And that's usually why they can't leave work. So
it doesn't have to be.
No, right. Absolutely not. And we still count it as, right? As a conference. Yeah, it counts just like it would as if they were there. Yeah.
So you do advertise that, right? I mean, does the public know that?
Yep, that's in our parent newsletter that Heather sends out when we first announce the conferences. We all send our Parent Square announcement out at the very same time. We actually do it in a staff meeting. Uh-huh. We're like, go. And then, we say in there, if you'd like to meet via Zoom or phone, please let us know. And we'll make that note in our schedule.
Awesome.
So, and it really is popular. I do one every single round. There isn't a time when I've never done one. So they do take advantage of it. And it's usually because they can't leave work.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
I think something too, that was, I think should have been highlighted probably in this presentation that we didn't highlight, is importance of understanding that family engagement looks different for every parent. And so I'll use myself as an example. I think that if people came in and saw me as a parent, they would probably think she is not engaged because they don't see me as much, but not knowing that, yes, I'm a parent that, like, professionally I'm very busy, and I actually didn't go to parent teacher conferences for one of my students this year because I knew that in that classroom from doing other things that there was more time that another parent needed. And I had already spent a lot of time during that year, but I will take projects home and I'll do them at home and bring them, but you might not see me. And so there were a lot of different parents that were in the group talking about other judgment based off of, like, being physically there when many people are showing up in many different ways. So that's also really important to note.
And then just the importance, like you said, about parent-teacher conferences, sometimes just picking up the phone and saying, hey, do you have 5 seconds? Well, 5 minutes to talk. And most of the time, parents are so happy that you called and will make that 5 minutes. But like you said, they're working and they're not able to do it. So if you see that they don't show up, just give them a call and just say, do you have a minute to speak? So
just letting them know that. Just letting them know it's not just that 2 days. They can do this anytime.
Except don't call your teachers at like 8 p.m. Does anybody else have any other comments or questions about? I think that's good. So thank you for getting this presentation together in kind of short order. I know you guys had like an intense week and then only a week back to get that. So I think everybody's really appreciative of it and super excited to see the one pager and how this rolls out in the coming months, and excited maybe even for if you have something or want to continue the conversation at our next meeting. And I guess we can talk about it now. Our next meeting is tentatively scheduled, like placeholder scheduled, for March 26th. So if no one has any objection to March 26th, we'll probably leave it there. So if you do have a issue, you can email myself or Aaron or Rebecca. Sorry. Is that okay? Okay. Perfect. And then something else I wanted to talk about was student self-care and also parent self-care, just how how we're handling things with our kids and talking about self-care with ourselves. I know that Bree and I have talked a little bit about this, just to be able to have a, you presented about it at a school board meeting, and I was super stoked. And I was like, how do we get parents to do this? They're the ones that need it. And also I wanted to just like put something in everybody's head of, outside of work schedules being probably the biggest factor to family engagement, I would assume. What are other factors or barriers that families have of being engaged with their children's learning?
Sarah and I look at each other. What are barriers besides schedules? I think that schools can be an intimidating place. I really do feel that way. I also will address that I feel like literacy is one of our biggest barriers, that it's kind of this hidden problem. Sometimes we have parents who would probably like to be involved, but they feel like what they offer isn't something that schools need, or that they may have had a negative experience themselves. And, you know, that can be something that brings up bad memories for them. And so, you know, I think that's a huge barrier. Sometimes also I think students, you know, we talk a lot about teachers. We talk about how the story at school changes when they get home, kind of thing. And that's another reason to have conversations directly with parents, because usually they're on my side. Actually, when I talk to parents, they're like, oh no, he's not going to do that, you know, that kind of thing. But it can be intimidating. But, you know, I think that a lot of times kids might go home and say, you know, tell a story or say something that parents are like, well, it doesn't sound like a very fun, friendly place to be, you know? And so I just think that sometimes schools, we project, we can project a negative energy when we concentrate just on bad stuff. And that's why it's really important to make sure that your positive contacts are more plentiful than your negative contacts. And then, also remember that most reasons why parents aren't involved, there's usually a root cause underneath there, that, you know, more engagement will usually remedy. And honestly, it's just about listening. I think that a lot of times we sit around and guess why parents aren't engaged, and we've never stopped and asked them, you know. And so I try to talk to my parents and my, because, you know, middle school, we have advisory, and I have lots of conversations over Parent Square with my parents. And I asked them, you know, to help out with a little Christmas party, and they were fabulous. But I think sometimes we just need to ask. We just need to ask, and we just need to listen. Schools can be a really, really welcoming place if we try hard. But if we don't try hard, they can be very, very intimidating. To parents. So my goal is would be that every parent feels welcome in school, but I know it can be really, really tough. So
I think it is intimidation. And it's also, the more we do in the schools, the more engagements we do, the more comfortable they're going to be wanting to come back and come back. Those nightly things we do, the meet and greets we do in the morning with the staff there. And when I was at Denali, I had my big park on and opening up the doors and for the kids so they didn't have to grab the cold door. Just those little gestures to that parent walking in with the child. Thank you for opening the door. Yeah, come in here and have a cup of coffee. Miss Averill's got a pot on right now. Just those little things of walking up and saying, he forgot his backpack in the car. I said, okay, got it. Bring it to him at 9 o'clock. Just those little things get parents more and more comfortable with your school, and those family engagements they have at the school. That's just that walking in that door is another step we're going to get parents to be engaged.
The relationship that families have with our schools is actually the one-on-one relationships they have with staff members. So just super important. And the teachers I know do this, the educators I know do this. So being really warm, not judgmental, open, collaborative.
I agree. I would add to those lists of barriers, you know, just from personal experience, someone I knew very, very well, it was the power dynamics. You may not think as a teacher, but there is a definite power dynamic, especially if you add in, you know, a majority white skin color in this room that's not indicative of our schools. I would definitely challenge teachers to be aware of what that's how you're coming off, because in this situation, my friend, she wouldn't speak, and she would just take it in, but she wouldn't speak. And she's someone that's very vocal, you know, in the friend relationship. But when that power dynamic comes into play, she's very hesitant. The other thing is transportation issues, you know, to be mindful of that. And one thing I've noticed is a shift towards more electronic communication, which is great probably for all of us in this room. We're not, again, indicative of our school population. I know lots of families that don't have internet, don't have cell phones, you know, so not don't take away the paper communication. And maybe that's where the district could assist in getting more mailings out of these events, because we all know if you're a teacher and you send home things in a backpack, they may or may not get to you. And in this particular case, this friend didn't open up their kids' backpacks all year. So they're not getting that communication. Those are my barriers.
I just noticed something. You see that orange one that says community back there? That's Denali. And all the kids are high-fiving the UAF athletes. But you see the lady in the red back there? That's me. I'm the meet and greet.
That's awesome.
I feel that another barrier could be summed up in expectations. Like, as was stated before, the intimidation factor, I expect my voice to not have an impact. I expect myself to not gain the knowledge or the respect that I would like from this interaction. And I feel that all these expectations, especially from previous negative experiences, are a very large factor contributing to the disengagement between parents and faculty. And another barrier that I'd like to point out is how they are perceiving the school environment from their child's stories, their child's perspectives. Because if a parent, their kid comes home, they're tired, they're sulking, they're coming home with D's and C's, and they just say, oh, the school sucks, then, oh, well, maybe the school does suck if my child is coming back home with all these negative experiences. How does that reflect on how the school is handling my child's education? Is my child getting what they should deserve out of the school system? And that would also sow some doubt.
Thank you for sharing. Does anybody else have any other comments about factors or barriers? Okay, well, I think we can pretty well wrap it up. If anybody has any conflicts with March 26th, please let me know. And I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
You want me to go ahead and move to adjourn?
Yeah.
I'll move to adjourn.
And then second. Thanks. Thank you. And thanks for everybody for making time here.